Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an Our Paranormal Afterlife extra episode, and I'm your host Simon Bowne. In this episode, I'm talking to Jana Short about her near-death experience and the magazine she founded, Best Holistic Life magazine. In 2023, she was crowned the top magazine publisher and publicist of the year by IAOTP and recognized as one of the top 15 coaches in Los Angeles by Influence Digest Los Angeles. Hi, Jana. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to talk to you about your near-death experience, but also I believe that when you were younger, you had a mediumship talent. Is that right?
It is. I noticed my mediumship talents very specifically when I was 16. I mean, I had them prior to that, but when I turned 16, I recognized what it actually was.
What sort of things came up for you? What were you connecting to?
For sure, I'm an intuitive and an empath, but I'm also a psychic medium. And what that meant for me was when I was 16, I saw my brother's passing. I actually 6 months prior to that, I saw my grandfather's passing, and I verbalized it to my mom and to my grandmother. My grandfather had come to visit, and my grandmother, like they did every year, the week between Christmas and New Year. And when I saw him, immediately I could see this like gray aura around him, and I felt a sense of impending doom connected to him. And I told my mom something's not wrong with Pop. And she's like, oh, no, he looks great. He's just tired because they drove all the way. And I insisted on having a moment with him. So I made him dinner that night. They were going bowling. This was back in the 70s. They were going bowling that night. And so I made him a really special dinner. I told him I loved him. And the next morning he was gone. He passed in his sleep from a heart attack. And so the next one, where I really noticed, I was 15 then. 6 months later, when I turned 16, I saw my brother walking. He was coming from down the street. He was 2 years younger than me, so he was only 14. And I saw him walking towards me, and I see that gray aura and the sense of impending doom. And the sense of impending doom to me did not mean they were passing it. There's something bad is coming. And that night, I acted on it. And as a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old sister and brother, we didn't always get along, but I had taken my babysitting money that I had made the couple of weeks before and took them to, we went to dinner at In-N-Out Burgers. I took them to the skateboard park to go skateboarding. I spent my money on my brother at 16 years old, which is unheard of. We set out because it was in July, and we set out in the out night, you know, goofing around, talking with our friends. And it was the most incredible night. And the next day he was gone. He was killed in a car accident. My parents and I were, and him and the neighbor kids were all up in the mountains fishing for the day. And he did not make it home with us. And then I realized those feelings that were coming, those impending doom feelings, that the things I was seeing was, you know, triggering what was coming in my life. And so I kind of have always paid attention to what I call the universal signs, those feelings, those pulls, things you see, and I act on them now more than I ever have before.
You had those premonitions, which are quite, you know, emotional and terrible, and it could have affected you two different ways. One could have been that you went into it more, or the other one, because you might think, I don't want to know about this. I want to shut this down. I don't want to learn these things might be coming.
Yeah, I don't want to shut it down because for me, it was an opportunity. I'm 65 years old now, and I have been very blessed to listen to those intuitive feelings and what I'm seeing. And I've never not been able to say my goodbyes to someone who's left me. Like, I've always got that intuitive feeling that I will call and say, how are you doing? Just want you to know how important you are. This has happened over and over and over again in my 65 years. And so I am grateful to be able to have that. Like, how many people wish I could have said one more thing, or if I could, this is what I would say. I've never had to do that.
And do you feel that having the near-death experience kind of turbocharged your abilities with that.
I do. I do feel like it's definitely taken me to the next level. It's completely changed my life. The things that were important to me, Simon, I'll tell you, like when before I had this near-death experience, I really wasn't paying too much attention to my abilities. I was all in a really superficial world. So I was an interior designer. That's what I went to school for. And I was pretty successful at it. And I remember I was driving a Bentley. I was wearing my Louis Vuitton shoes, carrying my Hermes bag. And when I walked into a new client's house, I knew I looked like success and I was going to book that client. And it happened. But when I had the near-death experience, and then after that, still laid in a state of not sure if I was going to be here or not, none of that was important. I wasn't taking those Louis Vuittons, that stupid car. None of that was coming with me. I was pleading for another moment with one of my grandchildren, for another moment to tell my daughters and my son how much they mean to me. I was pleading for more memories, more good memories of them growing up and the things that were important to me. I learned so much from that experience, and it not only heightened my abilities, I don't even fight them anymore, because there are times that you'll hear something, feel something, and be like, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, this can't be happening. And so you put your head in the sand. I don't do that anymore. I just fall. I fall into the universal pulls that I get. I don't ask questions. I just fall. And it's been almost 14 years. It'll be 14 years in April. And so since then, I have literally just followed that pull wherever it goes. Don't ask questions. I just get into it.
Yeah, that's the thing with the near-death experience, isn't it? People change from being so kind of materialistic to being much more spiritual. That seems to have been your path as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've always been very spiritual. And I don't know how you can be an intuitive and not be, or an empath and not be spiritual. But I've never been really very religious. It's always been about the energy, the feel, like knowing there's something more out there. And by the way, during my near-death experience, it was confirmed to me that being a spiritual person over being a super religious person was a good place for me.
Can you tell us what happened to cause you to have a near-death experience?
Yeah, I can. Like, it's super, super complicated. I had a little surgery called a fundoplication for a hiatal hernia, which, by the way, everybody gets these. The older you get, you're definitely going to get a hiatal hernia. It's just a hernia in your esophagus. I wouldn't have even done the surgery if it hadn't been that hernia twisted, which meant blood flow was being cut off, and it would end up dying. The part that popped through would end up dying, which is usually your stomach that pops through your esophagus through a weakness, right? And then my stomach would open up and I would get septic, and it would be a very bad road to go down. So I had the surgery. And after that, shortly after that, I noticed every time I ate, I felt like I was being poisoned. And I kept telling my husband, who's a veterinarian, so he knows a little bit about human medicine, but not a lot. But I kept saying, every time I eat, I feel like food's poisoning me. It's like insane. I don't know what's wrong. It was really a struggle for me. So when I went on to have the surgery, I noticed my stomach was really getting bloated. And people would come up and say, congratulations on your new baby. And I would just laugh and say, thank you for thinking I'm having babies in my 50s, but I'm not pregnant. And finally, I ended up in the ER and they found a big mass in my stomach. And it turned out that my stomach, they had damaged my vagus nerve, which had kind of paralyzed my stomach. I had something called gastroparesis now, which means my stomach isn't able to like function normally. So it would just hold that food. And our bodies are so miracle, like they're such a beautiful miracle that your stomach will just keep expanding, holding it. And so I had all this food in my stomach that could not really go anywhere. I wasn't absorbing nutrients. So my hair was falling out. My nails were falling out. So after a few months of trying to figure out what to do and me declining in health, they decided that removing my stomach would be the best option. And I would start using synthetic food. I think they call it TPN. And so I had the surgery. And when I had the surgery, The surgery dehisced, which means it did exactly what I was trying to avoid when I had the hernia surgery. It opened up and I became septic. I got pancreatitis. My organs started failing. And more than, I think it was two or three times, I actually had no heartbeat. And so after that experience, struggling to come back, I knew I wasn't going. I mean, I was told during this experience, it's not your time, that I had more to do. And so I knew I wasn't going at the time, even though everybody else probably didn't. I knew, I felt peace that this was just something I was going through. I wasn't going anywhere. And so going through that experience literally changed how I do everything in life. It changed my career. It changed how I see people now and how I understand what that empathy is that's coming from me when I talk to them. Before, it came from a place of pity or you could figure this out. Why don't you just do that? I don't understand this. Why can't you feel this way? And now I know why. And so for me, it was that surgery that set this path into motion. By the way, when I went home, I wasn't given much hope to survive because the TPN I was taking, my body didn't like it. It was synthetic. It's synthetic. TPN is wonderful if you're in a coma or something, and it keeps your body supported, hydrated, gives it enough nutrients to just barely survive. But my organs did not like it. It was saying no, and they were shutting down. So when I went home, it was literally to make me comfortable. That was 14 years ago on April 5th is when I had my surgery. I was in the hospital 2 months. So 14 years ago. And to this day, I live in the same diagnosis I left the hospital with, and yet I'm thriving in it. So for all of you that feel hopeless and you have this horrible diagnosis and you're scared and you feel like, you know, there's so much more for me to do, I'm going to tell you that was 14 years ago. I am thriving in that diagnosis now. I stay right on top of my health. I do whatever I can to absorb nutrients. And it has changed my life, the whole experience.
When you had the near-death experience, did you have that thing of floating over your body and looking down on it?
You know what? I did not have that experience of floating over my body. Like, I will tell you, there's been this weird experience since, and it's happened three times, where I'm in a sleep state. I'm sleeping. It's night. And I very vividly, I feel like I'm not quite asleep, but I am asleep. And my soul, I can feel my soul or my body separating. And I can feel myself reaching out, like literally, like, no, what's happening? And feeling like this pull that is being pulled from me. It is the weirdest thing ever. And that's what I felt when I was going through that experience. I'm not going through any near-death experiences now, but it's this weird feeling of it leaving and you holding it back, saying, no, no, it's not time. And then I just jump up in bed and get up and start walking and moving and taking in some deep breaths. But it's happened to me two or three times since that experience. I don't know if it's a reminder that every moment I'm still here is a blessing and it's supposed to be. I used to think, I'm living on borrowed time. Like, I know there's a purpose for me. When I do that purpose, I'll probably be done with it. And I always felt like I was on borrowed time. And I have this really incredible friend. I don't know if you know who Mark Anthony is. He does a lot of work in near-death experiences too. And he one time leaned over to me and goes, I have a message for you. You are not on borrowed time. You're going to live to a beautiful old age and you're here for a reason. And I don't know why he even said that because it's a thought I think of all the time. But he had a really good message for me that day. And I live with that now. Like, I'm here until I'm done. And today is not that day.
So all your experience, is it what's happened has led you on to found this magazine, Best Holistic Life?
What happened was I wrote a book and I wanted to write a book about my experience. It's called Oh My Health, There Is Hope. And I wanted to write this book about my experience. And I started writing. I've never written a book. And, you know, when you've written a book, so you know, it's a lot. It's a process. And when you're writing, like, I'm crying. All of my emotions are pouring in it. But at the end of the day, I really only had a good chapter, like a really good chapter about my experience. But on my journey, I'd been hearing other people's experiences. And I was moved by them. Like, I'm not the only one. There are other people who are here after having these horrific experiences, and something beautiful has happened in them. And it's making this change that is a generational change. And so I invited a lot of people to write in the book with me. And we invited other stories in. And as we were doing that, I created a podcast to go with it, which we still do. We have over 900 episodes out. We get about 40,000 downloads per episode. But every single guest that comes on those 900 episodes shares their story of hope. And 90% of the times, it's this experience that was so life-changing that they went on to do something really incredible in their lives and make this change. So when I did that book, I remember when I came home to be comfortable until I passed, basically, I decided not today. And I got on my computer, on my little laptop in bed because I was too weak to get up. And I typed in the words, desperate for health answers, looking for holistic options. And I started typing in all the things that were going wrong. And I did not even know anything about holistic medicine. And the whole world opened up to me. I was able, in that stupid bed where I thought I was ending my life, to type in those words and reach across the globe and get answers. But scarily enough, what happened also is I let in a lot of people who are claiming to be naturopaths, homeopaths. They were claiming all these things that weren't true and selling me snake oils or trying to. And as you know, I would have spent every penny I had for a moment here with my grandkids. It was the time I didn't have, and it was the time that they were wasting of mine. And I knew that when I got well, I was going to change that. I was going to find those people who not only were educated in what they were doing, but they also had this story that led them to where they're at. And what that did for them is made them really invested in their client's outcome. Like they got them, they realized that where they were coming from and they were really invested. And so I started a newsletter, and my magazine, which now has 2.3 million subscribers, started as a newsletter. And that newsletter, I didn't have time to do it. So I asked the people that I was working with and coaching with, why don't you give me an article about your story, about your journey, about what you're doing now? And at the end of the deadline, I had 30 of them. And I'm like, how do I put 30 of these stories in a newsletter? So because of my interior design background, I got on Canva and I put it in a little magazine form. And we put it out on my newsletter, which only goes out once a month. And we got 35,000 people sign up for it. And I was like, dang, like, that's kind of massive. So that we did it quarterly. The first year we did the magazine quarterly. And then the second year we did it quarterly, but we added two special issues. And since then we release the magazine every month, and it just grows bigger and bigger. And it's still people who we vet, who are interested and invested in their clients, who are sharing some tools for you, sharing stories to give you hope to move forward. But the magazine has been a huge heartbeat for me.
It's amazing. And you've had some really well-known people in the field, haven't you?
I have had some incredible people in the field. As a matter of fact, Mark that I mentioned, he's a really amazing psychic medium who I adore. He's been writing for us for the 5 years that we've been doing it. So I have some really incredible people that come in. We released a new magazine called Ageless Living. We release it in LA and in Manhattan, and it's filled with celebrities. There's so many celebrities out there with these beautiful, powerful stories. And I don't want people to see him as a celebrity. I wanted to see him as an equal, struggling with the same kind of struggles we have and turning that into something really special. So we started releasing those in March. Those are quarterly, and the next one comes out in right now we have Jacqueline Smith. I don't know if I'm aging myself, but Jacqueline Smith used to be one of the Charlie's Angels. And she is such a beautiful humanitarian and has the most incredible story. And she's also had a battle with breast cancer. And so she did our March LA issue. And then for December, we have Jules Marini, who was in Sex and the City and Dancing with the Stars and a few others. Well, so many other things, it's too many to name. And of course, the most incredible Mariel Hemingway is doing our Manhattan issue, the granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway. She's also an actress. But they have the most beautiful stories of change, and we wanted to highlight them.
So how can people get hold of these magazines?
They can go to the website on Best Holistic Life. They can go there and just click. We still give our subscriptions, our digital magazine for free. I will always give it for free. This is not for me about building a fortune. For me, it's about building a legacy of change, giving hope to people who were in the same situation I was. If it's okay with you, Simon, I want to describe just something really quickly.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time how I felt when I was told I only had, you know, a few weeks. Like, what? Why did you keep fighting? How did you feel? And I tell people it was the most oppressive feeling I've ever had. It almost feels like you're in a courthouse and they're like, you're sentenced to death. And we're going to send you for a hanging. And you're walking this long, long walk towards this noose that you're seeing, like, death's there, it's coming for me, it's there, and you're getting closer, every day ticks by, and you're looking for an escape, like I'm looking for escape when I typed in those words, desperate for health answers, but you're surrounded by people who won't let you leave that prison, like, no, the doctor says this, no, that sounds great, but the doctor says this, and you're surrounded by all these things, and the minute I stopped listening to the people surrounding me and pushing my box out, and just letting it happen, what's going to happen is going to happen. I don't have control over that, but I have control over this today. Once I started doing that, magical things started changing. But I can't tell, I literally felt like I was walking to the gas chamber and looking for a place to run or hide. It is the worst feeling in the world. But it frees you. The near-death experience actually freed me to open my brain to say, that's fine, but I'm not living in that fear. God, everybody's dying. Can you imagine at 5, I'm worried about death every single day of my life? We don't worry about that. And when someone gives us a diagnosis, we shouldn't be worried about that anymore. Especially, this is going to sound so weird, Simon. I know you've heard this from other NDEs. We are no longer afraid of death. When you have a near-death experience, it removes all fear of death. I don't know how to explain it, but I have absolutely no fear over death. It's just the next part of life for me.
Would you say that, or would doctors say that your recovery was miraculous?
Yeah, I think they would. And I know they do. And even now when I see a new doctor, because I get my chart before, they come in. I've actually had one doctor look at my chart, look at me and said, oh, excuse me, I'll be right back. And then come back 2 minutes later and said, I thought I was in the wrong room. After reading your chart, I expected to see somebody very sickly, and you look like the epitome of health. And so, yes, I think that they are a little surprised that I keep moving forward in this healthy pattern after almost 14 years.
So as far as your near-death experience is concerned, how do you feel about talking about it and sort of telling the whole story of what you experienced? Does it feel, I don't know, kind of quite private and you don't want to share it so much?
That is a really good question, Simon. You're only the second person I have shared it with. And if you remember, it was a struggle for me. It is very hard. It's kind of like if you've been abducted by an alien. It's so hard, right? It would be so hard to go tell something to people that they're like, maybe she was just on too many drugs, you know, at the time. Maybe it was like a hallucination. She was really, really sick. Maybe there's all these maybes that come into play. And it feels very personal. Like you have touched something extremely personal. You have this little nugget of knowledge that maybe other people don't have. So maybe they won't understand it. So no, I do not like sharing it at all. But I also know I want other people to say it's okay. Like maybe I'm not the voice for NDEs. Maybe that is not my purpose here. But there are some people that are holding back, and it's absolutely maybe your purpose to do that.
Was there anything about the near-death experience that changed how you view the people around you and how perhaps you would treat the people around you?
Yes, there is, Simon. I'm going to just tell you guys a really honest fact about me that I'm not too proud of. I was kind of a bully. I'm so glad when I, like 15 years ago or 14 years ago when all this was happening, that there were no people weren't videotaping with their phones like they do now, because I might be one of those Karens. And I reacted very quickly. I always reacted in, I don't want to say force, but determination to get where it is I was going, right? No matter what the cost. I was a bully. I I'm writing a book right now called The Secrets Women Keep. And one of my secrets that I kept was how I bullied kids in school. And it was all because of insecurities I had about myself. But I realize now that a little bit of compassion, listening to them and putting love in front got me a lot further. But it wasn't until I had that near-death experience that I understood that I was interacting with people and not, remember I told you I wanted to leave this earth with more memories. I did not want to leave the earth with the ones I had created already. So I have a whole second chance to touch lives, to share love, to be understanding and always respond in kindness. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes I'm struggling with something right now. Sometimes it's not easy. So instead of reacting, I have to step back, take a few breaths, listen to what the universe is telling me, and then reply, not react. So it's taught me a lot about communication skills and mostly about listening. I don't know how many of you do this, but this is how my brain had worked for many years. If somebody's telling you something, right, that you don't like, immediately your brain is creating a response. You're defending. And so you're like, wait a minute, that happened because you did this, or I didn't do that. You didn't ask me. And we're not really listening. We're really not taking the time to listen. And I still struggle with this. It's not anything that turned over magically, but I have to listen, stop trying to create a response. 9 times out of 10, by the time I'm through listening and they're done talking, that response wouldn't have worked anyways. It was a reaction. Now I get an opportunity to ingest everything they said. And because I'm an empath, I can feel the energy they're giving it to me. Are they afraid? Are they scared? Are they like feeling these icky emotions? Are they angry? There's just so much you pull when you're actually listening instead of formatting a response to them before they're even finished. Sometimes we don't even let them finish. We want to answer right away. We want to react immediately. And I've learned to not be a human reactor and to be more of someone who can try to listen to what they're saying, even though maybe I'm not agreeing, maybe I think that they completely are off the mark. Their opinions matter. What they're saying is valid, whether it's the truth or not the truth. I listen. I now listen, absorb, and then create a response. Sometimes I'm still so in the reactive mode, I have to tell them, especially with one of my kids or someone I really love, I want to give you an answer, but can you just give me a moment to like digest what you just said? Because I don't want to just react to it. I want to give you an answer that you deserve. And I have to step away from it. And I would not have done that 14 years ago. I'm a Taurus, the bull. I'm also a ox on the Chinese thing. I'm stubborn. I'm unmovable. And it's hard to keep me down. And now I have to take a break, react differently. So it definitely has taught me to understand and listen to what people are saying. Don't react to it. Give yourself a minute to digest it and give them a beautiful response. Like, how can I fix that? Like, if I've hurt you, I don't want that to happen again. I'm not agreeing with anything they said, but I don't want that to happen again. How can we do this better next time? How can I fix that?
Yes, I suppose it's about humility and being humble and also in a way logical and having some analysis. And maybe instead, because I know what you mean, you get defensive and maybe aggressive, but perhaps you should step back and think, well, maybe they're right.
They might be right, by the way. I know I'm not perfect. I know that if I have learned nothing over the last 14 years is that change is a good thing. And sometimes to get that change, you have to go through something really scary, right? So somebody telling you a truth that maybe you're not ready to receive. So it's definitely changed the way I deal with people. There's some people, by the way, that you can't change their mindset. You cannot, they're not going to hear you because they're still in their reactive mode, and that's okay. They're not maybe where I am right now because I've been working on it for 14 years. And I believe me, until the day I actually do leave this earth, I will be continually working on it because there's no perfection here, right? There's only showing up each time trying to do a little bit better.
So was there an incident in your life where there was a car accident and you avoided it, even though you had a green light to move?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I must have said this one time before, but I've always had protective angels, I guess, around me. So I don't know how many people who might be listening. I lived at the time in Ontario, California, and right by Ontario Airport. And this was back in the 80s. And the airport had not been built up as much. It was like empty land around it. And there was one light behind the airport. And I was driving through the airport, and I was sitting at the back of the airport. I was sitting at a red light, and I had a Jaguar. And if anyone who's had a Jaguar knows, they don't put drink holders in there. There's no drink holders in Jaguars. Maybe there is now, but back then they didn't put drink holders. So I had just left the lawyer's office with a bunch of legal documents for our jobs. And I had it sitting on the chair next to me, and I had it pushed up against a drink, a soda. And it was so funny because I was so worried about the soda falling, and it was pushed up against it. And as I'm driving through a green light, by the way, my light was green. I was driving through this green light. This soda literally comes up and falls. Like there was no reason for it to. I didn't hit my brakes. I didn't make a quick turn. And as it fell, my first response was to slam on my brakes. As I slammed on my brakes, I felt this, I don't know how you, like, kind of like this big pressure, like boom pressure. I heard it. I felt it. And everything was moving in slow motion. And I looked up, and a car was going through the intersection, the green light, where I would have been. And another car came speeding through it and hit it and killed the three people in that car. I literally have someone pounding at my window because I'm still in shock. I'm just trying to process what my brain just took in. And I'm sitting there like, what happened? Is this real? And this man's knocking at my window asking me, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm thinking, wait, I felt the pressure in my body when that hit happened. Was I in this accident? And the guy's knocking on the window, desperately trying to get me to roll it down. I roll it down. And he's like, are you okay? I almost hit you. How did you see that car coming? I didn't even see it. I'm like, I didn't see it. My drink spilled. I never saw the car coming. Both that driver and I would have been in that intersection had I not slammed my brakes, and I never saw the car. I stopped in response. I hit my brakes in response to my drink spilling all over these legal documents, thinking, oh my gosh, I have to go get these all notarized. I'll have to get more papers. It was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced, but it literally saved my life. And I'm very grateful for whoever took that drink and popped it over and led me to slamming on my brakes and giving me many more years and kids and grandkids. Wow, what a blessing.
With your mediumship now, do you offer sessions with people? Is that something you do?
I do not. I do not work with people offering them sessions. I use my mediumship, I think, for the greater good of what I do and what I put out and connecting with people that I come in contact with. It's really helped me clear the path and pull in the people that I need to make the project that I have here now more powerful. And so I do not do that. I don't even tell people if I feel, let's just say, that gray energy, something's not right. I feel this impending doom when I'm seeing my friend. I don't tell them, hey, I feel like this impending doom. I literally just go up and tell them, hey, I don't know if I've mentioned to you lately just how special you are to me and how much I love you. And let it go from there, because I'm hoping one day I'll be wrong. But so far, after 65 years, whenever I've had that feeling, something bad has passed.
Could I just ask you something about your near-death experience? When you were in it, did you encounter any, what you might call, spirit guides or deceased loved ones?
Yes, I had both. And I don't know, I also had something very negative happen to me, which I have a horrible time talking about. So my brother who passed and my grandmother, I was very close to them. As a matter of fact, when this happened, my mom and dad they were already on the other side too. But my brother, I feel like when you lose someone at the young age of 16, it affects your life for the rest of your life. processing that loss, because no one's given you the skills yet or understanding of what loss means. And so my brother's always been a part of who I am and what I do. And he was there with me, and so was my grandmother with him. And so they were there, and it wasn't like we communicated. We did not. It just calmed me. It gave me that sense of peace, knowing this wasn't my time to like let go of whatever fear I may have had, and to take a minute to look at what was going on around me. And so they were there, but I also had this experience that I don't want to talk about much. And I don't even know how to I know how to describe it, but I don't know what the meaning of it is. But I also felt like I don't believe in a devil, right? I don't believe in a hell. I just don't. I don't think that if we're bad, we're going to burn in the pits of hell. It's not my thing. And it could be real, you guys. It's just my personal belief. But there was a demon kind of figure there blocking me from them. And I'm like, I could see them, but I just kept closing in my brain. I kept closing, like, close it out. Don't want to see it. And it was scary. But there was like this demon present. It was bad. It was this horrible feeling around it. I didn't want to look at it. And I've never heard anyone else say that. So when I say, what happens if you see a demon? They're like, ooh, I don't know about that. But it was a not good. Maybe it was me looking in the mirror because I needed to make some change. Honestly, I wasn't that bad. I mean, I wasn't killing people, or I could have been kinder. And I influenced a lot of people then. And maybe I could have influenced them in a more loving, compassionate kind of way. But it was scary. And I don't like to admit it, because like, it's hard to say, yeah, I had a near-death experience and a demon visited me or a bad presence. I don't know if it was a demon, but it was something not good that visited me.
Yeah, I've heard of these sorts of experiences, because people have them and they can be so full of light and love. And occasionally people have distressing experiences, but it's like you say, I think maybe there's more people having distressing experiences, but they just don't want to tell anyone because they're worried what people will think of them. But I find that it seems the near-death experience you get is perfectly tailored to you. And so it wasn't all distressing, was it, that experience?
No, it was mostly, like I said, I could see when I kept my eye focused on my brother and my grandmother, peace was over me. So I did not want to look at that other presence. And I don't know enough about near-death experiences, because that is just not my genre. I don't know enough about it to even say why it existed. Why was it there? I just don't know. And I try not to think about it too much, because I don't want to spend so much time in thinking about things I have no control over and focus more on the lessons I need to learn here. I do believe one of the things I took away from this is I believe we visit this earth many times. I don't think this is my first time. I believe we visit this earth many times in many forms. And I think that one of the reasons I feel I'm a very old soul. I feel like when we visit this earth, it's always to keep learning. There's lessons. And so I always have said, even before all of this experience, even before I knew about near-death experience and all of this, I've always said, if you learn it here, you leave it here. And that's one of the reasons I think I'm an old soul. If you learn the lesson here and you move forward, not only do you leave it here, for those of you who don't believe in generational trauma or generational things, it's a real thing. And so if I can clear up one thing, two things, I feel like I leave it here and I don't take it into the next journey. Not only that, I clear it for the people like my kids, so that they're not having to fix it or drag it around with them. So if you learn it here, I believe you leave it here.
When you say you learn it here, you leave it here, does that mean when you die, you don't take this knowledge with you?
So if I have to learn a lesson of kindness, and it's constantly, things are coming in my way that says, you need to be kind, remember to be kind. And I'm learning the lesson of kindness. I'm learning the lesson of gratitude. I've never been grateful. And I'm a taker and an absorber. And I'm just take, take, take. And I've never had a moment of gratefulness. And I'm learning that lesson. If I figure it out here, I don't have to learn that lesson again. I'm not taking that lesson with me. I'll take a new lesson, maybe in my next life or my next journey. I'll have to learn something else. And so I feel like if I learn the lessons that I'm being presented with here, as hard as they are, one of mine right now, I'll tell you, I give myself a word every year. This is my second year on the same word, where I can learn more about letting that go and being better. I have the word judgment. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of judgy. Like, I don't judge you to your face, but if you walk in wearing something, I think, why is she wearing that? Judgment. If I say, I don't think she's going to like me, I'm already judging that person about not liking me. Like I thought I'm going to master judging. I'm not going to judge people anymore. I'm just going to love everything about them. That is a hard one. I've been on the second year with it, and it still pops up in my head. I recently, it was a while ago. I saw a girl come into the grocery store dressed in biker shorts, really small biker shorts, and a bra. And it probably was several sizes too small, and she was fairly large. And immediately I said to myself, what was she thinking when she left the house? But then I realized immediately, my brain, you're judging. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just wanted to swap it. I wanted to use that mental swap. And so my mental swap for that was, wow, I wish I had that kind of body confidence. Like, I wish I had that body confidence. I started looking at her and I'm like, she is rocking it. She loves how she looks, and more power to her. And so I'm still working on that word judgment. If I ever get that judgment down, I don't believe I have to take that lesson into the next life and learn it again.
You must be learning stuff from this magazine. You get all these people writing all this stuff. It must be a kind of an education, do you think?
I do. It is definitely an education, but what it's taught me mostly is we're all not that different. We're all so similar, struggling with the same things. When I hear things from people, there's such a connectiveness in their stories. All feeling hopeless, right? Or all giving up, or not understanding why me, going through all those things. There's such a connectiveness in it that I feel like this entire world, no matter where you're from, because people, by the way, in the magazine write from all over the world. And when they write, I'm like, oh, they're not that different. Like they feel the same pains, the same joys. There's such a connectiveness that I have learned doing this magazine that I won't forget. I just will not forget that wherever I go, I love traveling. We just got back from Japan a couple of weeks ago. I will not forget that everywhere I go, we're the same. We feel the same. We think the same. We're struggling with maybe problems in our marriage or a child that's a little rebellious. Like, we all have the same things we're going through. And so we have more in common than we do not in common.
The magazine's called Best Holistic Life Magazine, and we've talked about that. And the podcast, can you tell people what it's called again and where they can find it?
The podcast is called Oh My Health, There Is Hope. You can find it on any of the platforms that play podcasts. It's on all the podcast platforms, and we've had the podcast since 2019, so it's super easy to find.
Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Simon. It was such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that was an interview with Jana Short about her near-death experience and the magazine she founded, Best Holistic Life Magazine. A great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon. When you subscribe for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And you can sign up for a 7-day free trial. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or on Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.